Right, hello everybody, and welcome to this special PBIC recording, which I'm doing in...
excuse me.
Alex the video guy, there
That's
he is.
That's my introduction. Sorry about that.
Alex the video guy, sneezy new gaff. So, Alex, we've been recording some podcasts and stuff like that as well, but I've had these ideas floating around in my head for quite a while, and I've wanted to share them with a PBIC. I'm probably going to write about them in a ledger as well, because I think it's something that's...
Joined by a cat there. As
yeah,
well,
joined by a cat. Well, that kind of fits in as well with the all entertaining aspect of it. But this idea of, like, the worst thing you can be in your marketing is boring.
Mm.
Right? And... So for a while now, and even at the last Impact event, I talked about when the good cop, bad cop personality presentation, I've talked about, you know, personality, put your personality into things. And really, that was leading to this idea of you have to be entertaining in your marketing. You know, you have to be exciting. You have to be able to get people's attention and stuff. This obviously means you have to be doing things, but this, I've always kind of said that you have to be educating and entertaining. I think it's more important to be entertaining. And this was hammered home to me at the weekend when Toby and I went down to Manchester to see The Book of Mormon.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if you're aware of the musical or not, but it's incredibly near the knuckle, you know? Like,
isn't it by the guys who did South Park?
Yes, it's by the guys who did South Park,
which
yeah.
says enough in yeah, itself,
yeah, yeah.
It?
Yeah. And so anyway, they do like a number of skit type songs. One, just to set the scene for you, one of which is a bit of a setup of so basically these Mormons travel to Africa, and their mission is to, they want to go to places like Florida and Paris, and they end up getting stationed to Africa because every young Mormon has to do 2 years in the field, basically trying to convert other people to becoming a Mormon, you know, a Latter-day Saint. And so these guys end up in Africa, which is, you know, hilarious in and of itself. But whilst they're there, as soon as they're there and they meet this African tribe, the African tribe sing this song, which is a skit on Hakuna Matata by the Lion King, right? Only they sing a song called Hasadiga Ibawai, which means fuck you, God. So that kind of tells you the sort of level of offence that this musical is intended to cause. And I there was a number of things that like super impressed me about the show. It was tight, it was slick. The singing and the performing and everything was brilliant. What I loved about it was the fact that, like, because it was a comedy show, it didn't just rely on the fact that it was a comedy show, and so it was like loose in other areas, you know? It was, as a musical, it was tight. As a performance and a production, it was absolutely tight. Mm. And it was, like I said, it was incredibly near the knuckle all the way through. It makes fun of everybody, you know, all religions, all cultures, ours even as well, you know, and our depiction of Africa and Africa's depiction of us and all, you know, religion in general. But, like, I came away from it thinking, like, do you know what? Like, that was just, like, an unbelievably entertaining evening. I don't think, I've seen a lot of musicals in my time, but I think I was never as, I wouldn't say it was probably the best. I would probably rank something else above it, but it was the most entertaining thing that I've ever seen, you know, as regards from start to finish. Its sole purpose was to sort of make you think and prod at your beliefs and make fun of your preconceived ideas and, you know, and everything. And it was just entertaining, you know? And like I said, this is like an idea that I've been kind of kicking around in my head for a little while anyway, about marketing in general, you know, and promoting your business. And I think I've been leaning towards this being entertaining, being like number one thing that I'm interested in whilst I'm planning a project or putting something together, you know. And yeah, it's like they say that the worst sin in marketing is like to be boring. You know, like it doesn't matter. This argument all the time about should you write long copy or should you write short copy? And like Dan Kennedy says, there's no such thing as too long or too short. It's just too boring, you know?
Yeah.
You can't afford to bore people. And so like with the impact event, I did this earlier this year with the impact event where it was the whole Harry Potter theme, you know, like it's not, even though I know that what I teach at Impact is going to be massively beneficial for everybody who comes along, and the speakers are going to knock it out the park and people are going to go on to hugely change their businesses and stuff. That's not enough. You know what I mean? I'm not going to pack the thing out by doing that. It has to have an angle. It has to be entertaining. It has to be fun. Has to make people think like, what the fuck is this? Do you know what I mean? And make people smile and challenge them. And even if some people are going to think, well, I don't like that. You know, I'm not bothered. And then it's similar with this impact as well, you know, which is where the whole P.T. Barnum, Greatest Showman, Greatest Seminar thing came about. And there's a lot of thought goes into this, you know, because has to be entertaining it has to be entertaining. And I think there's far too much, well, 99.9% of the marketing out there by not even just pet businesses, business in general, but, you know, I'm looking at pet businesses and it's absolutely just bores the pants off me. You know, even people who are quite high profile, I look at their stuff and it's like,
yeah,
it's just junk, you know, and they're just the adulation that they get in and the likes and stuff that they get in is just like sycophantic ass licking, you know, from keyboard fucking nobodies. Do you know what I mean? I think this kind of represents a tremendous opportunity for people who are listening to this to really sort of grasp the nettle and, yeah, you know, start putting more of them into personal, like start being a bit more creative, start just doing more stuff and have entertainment as your sort of driver, you know, as the benchmark kind of thing that you need to be reaching for. What are your thoughts on this, Alex?
Yeah, but I agree with you. I think thinking of it from like a TV perspective, like there are lots of ways that you could be educated through programs and whatnot, you know, like, TV production companies could put together like literally just informative stuff, you know, here's a show about this that's going to increase your knowledge of XYZ. But if you didn't package it up in a way that was entertaining, well, no one would fucking watch it, would they?
Yeah.
And it's like, even the most factual kind of channels out there like Discovery and like all that whole network, they don't just dish out the information to you in a
Attenborough stuff, he's always telling a story in that, isn't
exactly
it?
Exactly, perhaps the best example of it. It's not just like the giraffe in Africa eats these leaves and stuff. It's nothing like that, is it?
No.
You know, the visually obviously it's fantastic, and like you said, their whole thing like BBC and that Attenborough stuff is to almost, well, it is to tell the stories of, like, in this case, these animals. It's like, these lions have been starving for days, and this is the mother, and these are cubs, and she's already lost two, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's not that they're making it up, but they are
dramatising it.
Exactly, yeah. But that makes it so much more appealing, really. And I think that, this idea of being entertaining has never been more important, really, because there are so many people now who are claiming to be experts and, you know, these super knowledgeable about whatever subject it is, whether it's in pet industry or not. And I think that a lot of them jump to the idea that they just need to tell people what they know, you know, and dish out this information, and then that's kind of enough. But for sure, that is one way to do it, and you know, if you want to become known as an expert, that is one sort of method. But far rather, as you say, you be more entertaining with it and actually create a bit of a name for yourself and be a bit different, rather than just being like a lecturer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, You want to be, to me, you want to be known as, you want to be known as an expert for sure, but you want to be known as like, you want to be known as someone who people like want to hang around almost, you know, and one of the cool kids almost, if you like, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean overtly hugely popular amongst everybody, but certainly like amongst your tribe, you want to be known for certain things, you know, things that you, that you, stances that you take and stuff. And we're kind of drifting into personality, but it's all intertwined in a way because, but I don't want people to, the kind of message I want people to take away from this is that the more entertaining you can be, the better. And it, not only that, but it's crucial that you are like that. So at the Impact event and the good cop, bad cop personality marketing presentation that I did, I talked about companies like Apple and stuff, you know, where Apple sort of make iPods and obviously and Apple Watches and things like that, but they're like primarily an entertainment company, you know, and they're as much an entertainment company almost as like Disney is, you know, and certainly they are now because obviously they're bringing out the Apple TV thing, you know, and there's everyone's in a race now to create more content because they realize this is what people want, you know. Netflix were obviously first to kind of do it, and where they're like a pure entertainment company, you know, and they invest in so much money in creating this amazing content. Amazon were second place with Prime and stuff, you know. Now you've got like Disney and Sky and all these other companies like diving in there to become the next version of that, you know, because they want that. Well, this is, it's a driver of sales, you know. People, they know that the best way for them to sell advertising space is to have people with eyes on their stuff. Mm. That's why these big events like the Super Bowl and all this kind of thing, that's why they get so many eyes, so much marketing money spent on them, because that's where the eyes are. Well, you can create that in your own business as well, you know. And this is, I mentioned this at the Impact event too, but in 2008, when Manchester City were taken over by Sheikh Mansour, I think it was, from United Arab Emirates, they appointed a guy called Gary Cook as a CEO. And the very next day after that appointment, Gary sent an email to all of the staff at Manchester City. And part of that email said, we are not a football club. We're actually a sports entertainment media company.
Mm.
We must create content. We must provide events. We must create shows. We must create drama. And we must be part of the news front page and back page in every way.
Mm. Yeah, I like it.
And like they've done, to a degree, like they've done that, you know, or they're doing that. They've still got a long way to go as regards moving into the top three or five most sort of profitable clubs, but they're doing that, you know, and this is like an intention of theirs. And what I'm trying to say to people is this is an intention of mine as well, you know.
Mm.
When I'm doing something, it's like, how can I, not just how can I do this, but how can I do this in the most entertaining way possible, you know?
Yeah. That's just reminded me, I feel like I've been referencing the F1 a lot in like the podcast and stuff recently. And I think I might have touched on this before, but yeah,
shoot.
The same thing happened with F1 in the past few years. The Liberty Media now run the TV side of things for the F1. I don't know who it was before, but basically they had massively overhauled the whole look and feel of the sport a couple of years ago. And I think they've done a friggin' fantastic job. And you sort of only realise when you look at like footage of old races and stuff, because, you know, yes, the cars and the drivers and stuff have changed and there's always rules being manipulated and stuff, but the sport is the same, you know, like anything, you know, football's football, cricket's cricket, the fundamental is the same. But if you look at like the TV footage of races from even just like 10, 15 years ago, it's uh-huh. like boring as anything. And I love F1, I love cars, but you have it's really boring to watch.
Yeah.
Part of that is the rules of the sport and stuff at the time, but like a lot of it, like you would watch the footage and there would be a lap counter in the middle of the screen, like at the top, saying, you know, lap 30 of whatever. And that was it. Mm. Whereas now you switch it on and it's become kind of, I suppose, in a way, like a lot more Americanized. Mm. And you've got like the running orders always down the left-hand side. You've got the lap thing at the top. They bring up stats constantly, yeah, of like, this driver started here and now he's here. This is the gap between these two cars. This is the battle for third place. And they'll put up like battle for third.
Yeah.
And they'll put the different drivers' names and stuff, you know. There's even an Apex Speed thing, which is powered by Amazon AWS, apparently, where as two cars are coming around the same corner, there'll be like a live graphic on the side and it'll show you who's hit that Apex faster, you know, all like in real time. Even things like the braking zones before a corner, usually there are markers put out for the drivers, like at a 200, 150 metres, so they know where to brake. Now they're double-sided and they're all colourful. They're in the same colours as the markings on the side of the tyres. So that even the cameras, when they're facing the corner from the opposite way, we, the viewers, can see where the braking zones are, you know?
Oh.
And all of this has made it like infinitely more entertaining, I think.
Oh.
And sort of gone are the days of, you know, a 70-lap race being totally not filled with any sort of action. And now, yes, as I say, like, rules and cars have changed, but mainly it's, like, the experience that they offer, yeah, is, like, completely different. And it's so entertaining. And because they are doing the job well in other areas as well, like, the YouTube channel is incredible. They show you, like, race highlights for every single one. There's much less of kind of... It's less behind like a vault, like a closed door. You know, they're more open with that kind of stuff. Lots of like spin-off content and interviews and like best ofs and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's just all been made so much more entertaining. That's been their number one priority.
Yeah. No, brilliant example, mate. I was thinking of the darts as well, you know, how they've like they've turned darts into like this, you know, what is essentially a fat man's pub game. Yeah, well, it was, you know.
The footage of it, like, yeah.
Now, you know, they've all got special nicknames, mm-hmm, and they've all got a walk-on music, and some of them have costumes.
Yeah.
And it's, like, all just adds to the entertainment factor, you know? And there's getting a bit more, I suppose it's always been like this and that, but there's a bit of needle, you know, between some players who don't like each other and that. And it's almost, this reminds me of, Toby showed me, when we went down to, Manchester, we always go in some bookshops and stuff. Anyway, he picked up James Acaster's book, Classic Scrapes, and just showed me this page. I took a picture of it and exactly, I've just remembered about it now. He's talking about wrestling. Okay, James Acaster's talking about wrestling. And he's put about wrestling. You've got to go. If you already go and watch live wrestling, why are you not going more often? Yes, it's scripted, but so is the West Wing, and that's why it's amazing. I wish every sport was scripted. There'd be no nil-nil draws, and I wouldn't miss a game if the World Cup had a storyline to it. Imagine if players had vendettas against each other and were doing speeches about it beforehand, and not sporting vendettas, but personal ones, unforgivable wrongs. Say if Cantona had stolen Letizia's car and crashed it into the stadium before the match, and now Letizia was out for revenge and had announced that as if his team won, then Cantona had to buy him 7 new sports cars or face the consequences. And then at halftime, we learned that Cantona had been having an affair with Letizia's wife, so they decided to play the match one-on-one. Everyone sitting on the sidelines while they competed for one lady's affections. Gripping, well-paced, purely scripted drama. I'd watch it every day. But sadly, such things do not exist in football, and so I haven't watched a single game since I was 13. Hence why the only footballers I can name are Eric Cantona and Matt Letizia.
That's class.
Typical Acaster, but a good point, you know?
Yeah.
You have to think about, and to a degree, this is like a good a kind of segue, I suppose, into, like, at the time of recording this, we're just cranking up for the Tour de Rescue and stuff. And it's going to be really interesting to see from a entertainment content point of view what we're able to spin out of this event.
Yeah.
You know, that we kind of put together, you know, because, yeah, like... First and foremost, it's all about the rescues and shine a light on the rescues and pulling the dog training community together. Maybe it's in a way that hasn't happened before, you know, and that's certainly how I'm going to use my skills to try and do that, you know. But at the same time, there's a that like it's like, how do we do that? You know, well, you know, this is, like I said before, this is a perfect way for us to use social media, I think, you know, to sort of bring everybody's worlds a little bit closer together and to get some overlap and some exposure for everybody along the way. And obviously the content that we produce, you know, we've got some ideas, but because, you know, there's some obviously some like hard cost to the element to the event as well, with you coming along for like the whole week, you know. So we want to make the best of that as well, don't we? And like it's just going to be interesting to see what we come up with, you know. I know you've got some ideas and you've got many more ideas than I have, but it's like, I guess what we'll end up with won't be what we think we'll end up with now, you know, at the start of it. And yeah, I guess if we keep that entertainment factor at the forefront, what do you think?
Yeah, that's it. It's a good point in that, like, we're planning this as much as possible. And from a video side of things, that's kind of at the forefront of my mind, you know, like, right, what shots are we going to get? And what's it going to look like? And I'm like, you know, visualizing it in my head, and I'm thinking of like documentaries that I've seen that are similar, but all of that is going to be useful and helpful. And obviously it's good that we are doing that, but it is going to be different to what we expect. And so that's why I think, as you say, it's really less about like the specifics in terms of the planning of the content. And it's more about like, what's the theme, like what's the overall underlying driving sort of theme behind it. And as we've just been saying on the podcast and stuff that we've been recording, it's like storytelling and which I feel like is like it's a phrase that's bandied about quite a bit these days. And when I hear it, I kind of a little bit, but we are trying to tell and share the stories of these rescues. That's kind of number one priority, isn't it? That's the reason for doing the whole thing. And so really we shouldn't make the plan any more, much more complicated than that from like a fundamental perspective, you know. Otherwise, well, as you say, it probably won't go like 100% to plan anyway. So we don't want to let that kind of hinder us, but we also just want to make sure that it's that like the thing that props it up is like as simple as possible.
Yeah.
Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. No,
like, you said, you know, like with the F1, they thought, right, not as many people are watching the sport as we like. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to make it more entertaining. And that was the mission, you know? And I know that a lot of like video production companies and people who make TV shows and stuff, this is what they'll do as well. And it won't be like, right, we want to make a film that tells this story and it's filmed in this way and it's going to show this and that and it's going to lead to this and that. Like, they will think about that stuff, but before anything else, it's like, what do we want to do? Okay, we want these small rescue centres to have, like, a voice.
Hmm.
And that's the kind of core thing that'll underpin it. Mm-hmm. And they'll, like, think really hard about that first before doing anything else. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, 100%, mate. Yeah, and that's what... I'm pleased that you've said that, because that was what I originally came to you with, wasn't it? You know, so it's like obviously stuck and and I think along the way there'll be, you know, other stories to tell as well, won't there? You know, like that'll be the prime thing, but wrapped around that will be like individual stories of dogs, trainers, dog owners, you know, dogs that have changed lives and stuff like that. Then we'll have this, hopefully have the story of how we got round the event, you know, and we'll have to think about, I mean, there'll be an element of drama in that anyway, because I will be knackered. I will, you know what I mean? And it will be a case of, you know, is he going to get to the next one kind of thing?
Yeah.
But like, we'll have to think of how we can, riff on that a little bit as well. Do you know what I mean? From a storytelling point of view. And then in the lead up to the event, obviously that's a story as well, isn't it? You know, the story of how we put this thing together, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess from the whole thing after the event, all of that stuff will come together, won't it? Maybe it's into, like you said, some kind of documentary type thing or something like that. But I think having that central thing about the rescue is just spot on there. Like, We'll have to get our thinking caps on as well, and I've got the guys who are hosting the events to to do a bit of research and get some stories for me, or make sure that the rescue is coming to me with stories and stuff.
Yeah.
But we're... Even this event, in a similar way to what I just said about the start, about how the impact event, it's not enough just to say we're doing the greatest seminar and there's going to be fantastic marketing and stuff taught there.
Mm.
It has to be done in the same, similar thing with this in a way, you know? Like, there's, yeah, this is a, we're looking forward to it, it's exciting, it's something different, it's going to shine a light. We have no real clue what it's going to look like in the end, but we're going to enjoy the journey, but we can't just rely on the fact that it's for a good cause.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. We're going to have to really pick the stories out of this and tell them in a way, and get good at telling them in a way that hooks people in. You know,
yeah.
This
is why, like, I mean, like we said again on the podcast, this is why, you know, charities still need to do marketing, because it's just kind of the way things are, isn't it? You know, you can't just say, like, well, this is a good cause, so can you donate some money or some time or whatever? Because, like, it's just not enough, you know? So it's why things like Comic Relief and Sport Relief and stuff exist. And it's why even on those shows, they don't just say, oh, by the way, here's the number to donate.
Yeah.
They'll tell you a story about someone related to whatever cause it is, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, people have kind of sort of criticized that, haven't they? Like, some people of the time, there's that kind of cliche, I suppose, of, like, you know, they make you feel guilty, or, you know, Oxfam and people are putting on these, like, really dramatic adverts about all kinds of stuff. I don't really see it as, like, being overly dramatic. It's just, like, that's what they have to do.
They have to make you feel something.
Exactly, yeah. You can't, you know, if you're a human being, you can't say that, like, you know, you're going to be unaffected by all those types of things. There'll be some kind of cause that, or some story that will, you know, depending on, like, your experience or whatever, just the way you're wired up, will kind of impact you more than something else. And I don't think it's like about being manipulative or, like, yeah, over dramatizing it. I think it's just about, you've got a message, you've got, like, a story. How do you tell it? How do you, like, convey it? And this, you know, the same could be said for, like, all aspects of marketing and stuff, really. It's like, again, hi, I'm an expert dog trainer, so do you want to come and book a class? It's like, well, it's not going to be enough for, like, anyone. It needs to be more, I don't know, kind of human, really.
Yeah,
more,
I mean, like, totally, yeah. You have to reevaluate everything what you're going to talk about before, you know, evaluate it beforehand, and make sure that you go at it in a way, present it in a way that's entertaining, that's wrapped up in a story, you know? So this is why I always talk about, you know, we need to have your story, your origin story, you know? And then that has to be front and center all of the time. And it has to be told and retold and retold all of the time. You know, I've just been down again, doing a couple of seminars in the last couple of months. I do the worry-free walks in the morning and grow your peppers as fast in the afternoon. Some people stay for both. And at the start of both seminars, I do, you know, the Dom Hodgson origin story.
Yeah.
It's slightly different than the business one, but I'd certainly retell the same John Rogerson origin story. And I don't just miss it out because there's a few people there who've been there in the morning, you know? Like, it has to be told.
Yeah.
And this has to be told in your marketing as well, you know? And it's like, how can you make this more entertaining for people? You know, how can you, you know, whatever it is that you've got to offer, whether you're a dog walker who does, you know, amazing scent work on your adventures, or if you're a dog groomer who, you know, whatever you're using, it's like you must think of a way to add a bit of drama into this and at the very least storyfy it. And then, yeah, and, you know, and, like, give it a bit of hype as well, you know? Like, there's nothing wrong with... you can be too hypey, obviously, at times.
Yeah.
But you know, these people like Trump and stuff, you know, Trump is one of the reasons why Trump was so successful, one of the reasons why he got the presidency, even, whether you like him or not, is regardless, you know. One of the reasons why he was such a successful business owner was because everything was always the biggest and stuff, you know. This skyscraper is going to be the greatest. This golf course is going to be the best in the world. This is, you know, and, like, yeah, you have to back it up for sure, you know, but like it's, people are attracted to big things, you know, and big exciting things. And I think it's for some people who I guess who are just new to joining the inner circle now, this might be quite a bit of a mind shift for them. For people who have been to boot camps and stuff in the past, you'll be on board with it, but hopefully it'll be a fantastic reminder for them. But it's like, don't do anything until you can think of an amazing way to put it forward, you know, to
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah, 100%.
Thinking about, sorry, mate, while you're thinking, just thinking about your wedding venture for next year and stuff, you know, just we sort of briefly, we didn't really touch upon it in the podcast, but like, is like, right, what are the most exciting way that we can, you, you know what I mean, that you can present this and sell it, you know, is like...
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to be enough if I just say, oh, by the way, I'm doing weddings now. It's like, okay,
yeah.
Who cares?
Even though you're a brilliant storyteller, you know, and you can cinematically or videography, however you would say it, tell a story of someone's engagement and wedding you've done in the past, haven't you? You know what I mean? Mm. But better than 99% of people out there, that's still not enough. You know, it's not enough that you can do that. You need to be able to communicate that in a way that moves people.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm aware of this now, thankfully, having been, you know, hanging around with people like you. This is very much at the forefront of my mind. And all right.
That's fine. I like the smell of water.
Oh, okay.
I'm sniffing my chili bottle, everyone.
Sniffing his water bottle. Look like you've been poisoned, that's all. I just want to make sure you're all right.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, I'm aware of this now. And this is why... So when I thought of like the wedding idea, getting back into the wedding side of things again, the first objection that I had immediately, you know, like devil on my shoulder kind of thing, saying, "Oh, you can't do that," was, well, it's a very commoditized industry, and it's very competitive, so you need to be aware of that. And I think part of the reason why it is because people aren't particularly great. Not many of them are great at differentiating themselves from the next wedding videographer. That's why there's so many of them, you know? And it's like... It's so straight away from the start, I was like, right, well, I want to... It doesn't... Like you just said, it doesn't matter whether I am objectively better or worse, technically, than any of these other companies and guys and girls out there. What matters is that I can communicate what I do and the sort of values I have behind that and what it's going to mean to the buyer, the customer, better than the others. Mm. So we're still in like the early days of it, but the sort of brochure production package document that I've put together for the wedding side of things starts with a story. Mm. And it says it all started in New York City, and it's the story of Stephen, our good friend Stephen Craven, and him approaching me to say, I want to film my surprise proposal to Kelly in New York City. Because straight away, it's a story, isn't it? It's like, and I remember like when he first approached me about it, I was like giddy because I just thought, from a storytelling perspective, this is like epic. This could be brilliant. And that was, obviously that was one of his values, which is why he asked me to do it. Why he asked me and Normsy to do it. So... Yeah, it's hugely important, and I think if I can carry that on through the other marketing activities and sort of techniques that I employ for this wedding thing, hopefully it's going to help sort of differentiate me from what is, as I say, otherwise a very commoditized market, which is the same in the pet world, obviously.
Exactly the same. Yeah, you have to you've got to get on board with this, and you have to. You know, whether you're just coming into my world, like I say, and you're starting to realise, oh shit, I don't have a USP, I don't have a unique marketing message, I don't have anything that differentiates me. Well, that's where you need to start, you know, thinking about that. But if you've been in my world a little while, and you know, you're thinking about expanding, or you want to go in a different direction, or you know, whatever it is, you want to change from one sort of part of the pet business to the other kind of thing. Like, look, you need a story to wrap this up in, and you need some way of. creating a bit of excitement around it, you know, and just being different is I think being, I know we've said this before as well, but being, you know, it's not enough to be better.
No.
It's not enough to be better. I used to say different and better, you know, and like it, that still stands. You have to be better. You should be better, obviously. It's not difficult to be better. You have to be different. Mm-hmm. You have to be different, you know? Yeah. Educate and entertain in your marketing. Yeah. Entertainment's more important. But like, even if you don't educate, you have to be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be.
I can say, like, confidently, and, you know, this is pertinent for those listening who, like you say, perhaps sort of newer to this, and I'm not a dog owner. I'm a cat owner, so I can... I'm fairly impartial with this, I guess. But, you know, if me and Gnomesy got a puppy or a rescue or whatever tomorrow and we needed a dog walker, I can say for a fact that I am going to buy and invest in someone like yourself or perhaps someone someone who is... puts their story front and center, who's a proper personality, who isn't kind of afraid to be like, you know, this is mm-hmm, completely mm-hmm. me, authentic version of me, whatever. Rather than someone who is just, oh hi, I'm Mr. or Mrs. Dog Trainer and I have these qualifications, so that makes me the best.
Mm.
Like, and I can say this, as I say, as a fairly neutral sort of party, I don't care because they don't mean anything to me. I respect them, you know. I'm sure that they carry a lot of weight and that, you know, they do have some kind of influence. But to me, as like a customer, I'm buying from another person. And that person is going to be quite involved in my life if they're going to uh-huh, take my uh-huh. pet, which is like a child.
Of course, yeah.
And if they're going to be involved with that, or they're going to train them, or whatever it is, not just the walkers, I want someone who I like rather than just someone who I know who is like the best. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're only going to get to that point of you contacting them by them getting your attention and putting themselves, you know, putting themselves out there, you know, warts and all kind of thing. I think to kind of bring it back to where we started with the Book of Mormon, like, I loved the way that it, like, there were some elements to a musical that, like, all musicals have, you know? So there's a bit of a love story type of thing. There's a bit of a... there's, like, some solo numbers, you know? There's, like, a big uplifting number, and then there's, like, a comedy. Do you know what I mean? Like, all musicals have... It doesn't matter if it's Les Mis or Phantom or something like that. That's Les Miserables, Alex. Sorry, I was speaking in theatre tongue there. but it doesn't matter what it is. They'll all have that, you know. But this kind of defied a lot of conventions.
Mm.
It had that as well, but it defied a lot of conventions, you know. And I think, and it's like obviously not bothered who it pissed off, because that type of thing must piss a lot of people off.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and I think
Mormons that's... probably.
Who, incidentally, there's an advert in the program for, like the Book of Mormon.org.uk, like to, which is their website,
right?
They're advertising in the Book of Mormon program And I clicked on it as well. It was a genuine
website
type of thing, yeah. Where you could,
amazing,
you know.
Be Anne Mormon.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to do another teleclass or something about this, about religions, another time. But as a quick little aside, when you go to that website and you can request a copy of the Bible, a free copy, or you request a copy of the Book of Mormon, it gets delivered to you by two people.
I don't know the correct term.
Robots. No. two people, you know, who come and they'll give you like a... Obviously... they want more than that, don't they?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But no, I just thought it was... I was fascinated by that whole... You know, they're not just going to send you it in the post. The lead generation.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I always talk about, like, how... It's like, it's not about the leaflets, you know? Like, I didn't make £150,000 in 8 years from three clients by having an amazing leaflet. Because I didn't know... It was the fact that I was there to put that leaflet into people's hands.
Yeah.
You know, and... That's what kind of what struck me was like, right. this is what they're doing, you know. So so yeah, so just, you know, it's about putting yourself out there. It's about thinking of ways that you can be more different, more creative. Might even be worth me doing some kind of creative thinking course or creative thinking boot camp or something like that. You know, we talked about doing a content thing before in the past, haven't we? And yeah. I know we'll be touching upon some of this at Impact, I guess, won't we, for your for the workshop stuff that we're going to do.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it's like...
probably worth exploring on its own as well, yeah.
Yeah, for sure, because I think it changes your approach. Hopefully it changes your approach anyway to everything that you do, you know? So it's not about like, oh, well, I think this is a good idea, or people are asking for this service, or, you know, or people are complaining about this, therefore maybe I should come up with a service for that. Like, that's where you should start with these things. But then it's about like, right, what are all the ways that I can make this the most exciting proposition ever, in a way that's going to blow people's socks off, and you know what I mean? And entertain them along the way.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Which is kind of where, like I said, was kind of where we're going with the tour de rescue thing, isn't it? It's like, look, this is what we're doing. This is the agenda, but like all, let's leave it all out on the field kind of thing. You know what I mean? But,
yeah. I think as well with that, like, you know, like having me and Gnomesy come along to film it, I know that you probably would have asked us like anyway, because we work together so often and stuff. But I think you realised, like, you probably thought, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but quite early on from having the idea, that it was the type of thing that was worth getting documented and spinning it into something of a story, because it is so, well, that's at the very core of it, isn't it? That, you know, that's the whole idea, the whole mission is to kind of spread the word, so why not turn it into something of, like, an entertainment package? I don't know, is that something that you thought?
Yeah, well, yeah, I've never thought about it as
the primary mission is obviously.
I'm totally 100% agreeing with you, yeah. And I guess I'm this whole kind of philosophy of, you know, being entertaining and how thinking of how can I make this product, this service, this thing, this book as entertaining as possible and as attractive as possible. Obviously, this is might be quite a new thing to some people listening, but this is how I live my business, and you've just backed it up there now, because you were the first person that I told about it, you know, and you were the first person that I wanted on board. Do you know what I mean? And it had to be, like you said, this is going to sound awful, but to me it's not worth doing if it's just about that, you know. I want to like touch as many lives as I can with this, you know, and I don't want it to be just something that, like you said, primarily, I do want it to be, it is about the rescues and the difference we can make to them. But we've got this, I've got this profile now, you know, that I didn't have like 7 or 8 years ago. And I've got this community now of everybody in the PBIC and stuff. And we've got this following and the tribe and stuff as well. And now we've got all this media, haven't we, that we've got access to, the podcast and the newsletters and all that kind of thing as well, and the publicity and stuff that we've gotten over the last couple of months. So it's like, yeah, it's like, right, how do we plug absolutely everything into this to make it as entertaining as possible, yeah, and like what you just said. So this is why you were the first one, and in a way the whole thing was built around your availability, wasn't it? That, you know, I mean, to a degree, it was seasonal because I didn't want it to be too later in the year. But even then, it was like,
yeah,
when are you available to do this? You know, and you said, well, there's this week or there's this week. And I was like, right, well, that's when. And again, I'm prepared to, which I don't think a lot of people are prepared to do this. And I know my business is slightly different, et cetera, but there's still lessons that you can take from it. You know, like, I'm prepared to invest in you and your expertise to help me to make the most of this.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not like I'm not selling like the ultimate rescue plan at the end of it. There is no like funnel like that per se. Do you know what I mean? But I know, just because I know how marketing works, I know that I'll still sell a lot more books and stuff and everything anywhere. And it'll obviously increase my profile even further, which will make me more known to more dog walkers, trainers and groomers, which will help me grow. Do you know what I mean? It's like a that'll all happen in the slipstream of like the event, you know? So it's in a way, it's like, in a way we're like, we're winging it and it's all happened incredibly last minute. And like, that's not bullshitting, because it really is, isn't it? I mean, like, you know, we're at the time of recording this, we're literally a month away from it happening, and we know where we're going roughly, and like, that's it, isn't it, really, you know? training is on track with a bike. But my point is, and in that sense, it's been quite winged. Another sense, it is quite calculated, in the sense that I know that other things are going to happen from it, and hence I'm prepared to invest in, you know, having you and Normsy come along for the whole week and stuff, and and I'm prepared to like share that love as well, because I want, it's not about me, it's going to be as much about everybody else who's involved as well along the way. Yeah, and everyone, and that way everybody will benefit from it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there's no like one winner, you know. Ultimately, the rescue dogs will be the winners, but like, hopefully everybody who takes part will get some kind of uplift from it, some kind of recognition or... Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, totally. I think that...
It was very observant of you, though, to pick that up.
I think the key thing is just that, yeah, it's like, if you're going to do it properly. Do it like, you know, go fucking balls deep and, you know, commit.
Yeah.
And... and try and, I don't know, try and make a bit of an impact. It's another common theme, isn't it, of yours?
It is.
And of
I mean,
ours.
It is. You know, it's just like, I'm not. This is. I guess I see people who, and I've done this in the past myself, and that, and like you say, you need to go, if you're dead set on summit, and you know, like, you need to go balls deep. Do you know what I mean? You need to like leave it all out on the field. And I see people sometimes do this with books and that, you know, or if you write a book and then like they don't like spend any money on the cover or something like that, you know,
exactly.
Or like they'll do an event, but then they'll not be prepared to get any posters printed for it. Or, do you know what I mean? It's like you're hamstringing yourself like all the time, you know? Yeah. And I'm not saying you should just piss money away left, right and centre, because like nobody can afford to do that. I can't either. But at the same time, you can take quite a calculated view of, is this going to be beneficial long term for what where I want it to go?
Yeah.
And then like ultimately I think this will like repay itself like 10 times over, you know, like in the next year even. So yeah
100% man.
Alex is nodding. Yeah, so we kind of drifted ever so slightly away from the whole entertaining factor, but I think that's certainly the lesson of the teleclass, is to be more entertaining with your marketing. Don't be boring. This, in a way, this is why it's absolutely crucial that you're a part of the PBIC, something like this. And then more so, if you want to get more done in your business, obviously, then there's like the diamond and platinum groups as well. But like you, this is where, to me anyway, to my eyes, this is where things like different things happen, you know. People have different ideas and stuff. All the other stuff I see people doing from you know, from the limited exposure that I have to it and social media, and that, it absolutely bores the pants off me, you know. The stuff that they're doing out there, it gets liked from their peers and stuff like that, but like it makes virtually no impact at all, you know. And like you need to, it's about surrounding yourself with the right people and putting yourself in the right environment to like, to make this work, you know? I think that's probably why I was a bit cagey about announcing the whole thing, because I wanted to do it in a way that I got the right people involved, you know? It's kind of got your input and then Vicky's input and then, you know, rolled it out to PBIC peeps at Impact. And then it's like, right, where we're going to go, it's important, like, get people involved who are, their values are aligned with mine and stuff, you know, and they can help me to make the most of it, which in turn will help me to help them help the rescues.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's loads to be said about surrounding yourself with the right people, you know, especially for something like this, where it, you know, something like the bike ride, which is going to get shared a lot, and there's going to be a lot of eyes on it. Yeah, the people you want to be involved in it as well as you. You want to be proud to kind of show them off as well.
Yeah, and again, I'll just finish off with this point now. What are we coming up to, about an hour now?
Yeah, 51 minutes.
Awesome. So just to finish off with this point as well then, which kind of ties in with the Book of Mormon, because obviously there's lots of people who don't, like we said, lots of people who don't like that, and people would be walking out of theatres and stuff as well. But and in a similar way, I don't really know how this will happen, but I know that it will, because it happened in the past, and that there'll be people who'll be taking pot shots at what we do with this. You know, as soon as we stick our head above the parapet and say, like, this is what we're doing, there'll be people for all kinds of reasons who'll be taking pot shots and saying we're doing it for this reason or that reason or whatever. Mm. And you've got to be prepared mentally a little bit for that. I'm not so bothered about it now, but certainly if this was if you've got something, you've got to be prepared to take pot shots from people who are even probably quite close to you. You know, if it's an idea that isn't completely conventional and chimes with them, you know? So, yeah. Another reason to make sure you surround yourself with the right people. But thick skin is required, isn't it?
Mm, yeah, 100%. Agreed.
Because being entertaining means that you're only going to be entertaining and attractive to a certain crowd, your crowd, you know? You're going to... For that to happen, you have to piss other people off.
Yeah, I can't think of any entertainers that aren't like that, no matter how much you try to be like neutral or try and please everyone kind of thing, there are going to be some people who like you and some who don't.
Yeah.
And so why not embrace that a bit more properly?
For sure. So there you go, folks. That's our entertaining teleclass, hopefully, anyway. The importance of being entertaining in your marketing. And I guess the sort of lesson would be, yeah, think about how you are presenting your business at the moment. Are you presenting your business in the most entertaining and attractive light? And whatever plans you've got for the final third quarter of the year, what effort are you putting into making sure that it's going to be something that really wows people, you know, and really wows your tribe and excites them and gets them, gets them on board and at the same time pushes some other people away. It's totally fine to do that, you know.
Definitely. So
give a bit of thoughts. Never too late to spice things up. As in the case of my Perfect Puppy book, which went out to the beta readers, and Sally Cousins sent me some feedback saying, I was really surprised that you didn't put swear until page 38. And I was like, fuck me, that needs to change then, you know? So it was like, so in the final edit, I punched it up a little bit, you know, with a bit
more. Because joking apart, like, if you're going to swear, you might as well, you should really do it earlier so that people don't go, ooh, I've got 38 pages, and where's this come from? This isn't kind of what I thought. Genuinely, as much as it is quite funny, something like that, you do want to have in there quite early.
For sure. So don't be frightened to punch up your current service or, you know, your current story or whatever. And, just make it as real as you can, and you'll create that tribe that'll keep you in, keep your fridge stocked, and your valve full of petrol for a long time to come yet.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for your time today, Alex.
No worries. Thank you, Dom.
No worries. And we'll get a wedding update next time, hopefully, in an upcoming teleclass.
Sounds good.
Speak to you soon, pal.
See you later.